I'm Jim Benson, and you're listening to TV Time Machine on Intelligent Talk, 1170 KCBQ. Like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, and visit our show archives at tvtimemachine.com. Ladies and gentlemen, you're about to embark on a journey through a vast galaxy that traverses memory, generations, and popular culture. A magical trip through time as we meet the men and women of yesterday and today who have shaped not only what we see on TV, but the way we see ourselves. I'm Jim Benson. Join me, if you will, on an exploration of television's past, present, and future as we climb aboard the TV Time Machine. Our destination subject today will be singer extraordinaire Chris Mann from NBC's The Voice. The man himself, Chris Mann, will join us for a fascinating excursion exploring his new album, Roads, and this phenomenally popular program. We'll begin our exciting and fun-filled odyssey right after these brief messages.
I was born Mary Tyler Moore.
It's Jesse Donald Knotts.
Fred McFeely Rogers.
Leslie Moonves.
Isabel Sanford.
Leslie Renee Stahl.
Robert Edward Turner.
Regis Francis Philbin.
Aaron Spelling.
Since 1999, the Archive of American Television has been preserving the memories, knowledge, and insights of the men and women whose talents and vision have helped shape this remarkable medium. Over 500 video interviews with these TV legends are now available on the Archive of American Television website at metvlegends.org. There, you can sign up to receive news, updates, and also become a sponsor to help preserve television history for generations to come. That's metvlegends.org.
The mythological proportions of Star Trek provide something that's missing in people's consciousness, psyche.
The Archive of American Television, capturing television history, one voice at a time. Today on the TV Time Machine, we ask you to turn up the volume and listen to one of the more remarkable voices from the NBC television series of the same name. In this edition of our program, we are proud to welcome one of the top four finalists from the second season of The Voice, Chris Mann. As a member of Team Christina, Mr. Mann showcased his phenomenal vocal talents, launching his dynamic musical career. Over the next few segments, Chris Mann will help us explore virtually every aspect of his extraordinary journey on The Voice and also discuss his current album available on iTunes, Roads. Again, for those of you intrepid enough to experience a blind audition, feel free to vote for this program as we turn our chair away from the past to face a pitch-perfect present.
Never an honest word, but that was when I ruled the world.
Chris, thank you for coming on board the TV Time Machine.
Thank you so much.
Chris, you grew up in Wichita, Kansas. When did you first realize that music was going to become a very important part of your life?
I started singing when I was 15. Pretty much because my friends were all in choir and I was sort of missing out. So I joined choir in middle school, and then the choir teacher called my parents and said that I had something extra and that I should take it seriously. So I started, they put me in voice lessons, classical voice lessons at the university in Wichita, and I never looked back. I've been doing classical bass singing ever since.
How would you describe your musical sensibility?
Well, I just shot my PBS special, my first concert special, and I sang Longer by Dan Fogelberg. And I actually had sung that song in high school in a talent show. And that in particular, I remember that other kids in the same talent show in Kansas where I'm from were singing like Kenny Chesney and the Dixie Chicks and
right.
and George Strait, like those, because I'm from that part of the country. And then here I come to sing like the fluffiest of fluffy 70s folk songs by Sam Fogelberg. And I think they probably all thought that I was crazy. But I still listen to country music. I love country music. I love everything that everyone else loves. I love top 40. I write top 40 music. I've had a whole section of my career where I was writing songs that got used in television shows and movies that are nothing like what I did on Rhodes. So I enjoy enjoying all kinds of music. I don't think, I think it'd be boring if it was like, we listened to opera. It's not the case.
But isn't that enriching? Isn't it something that is very gratifying when you're interested in all genres of music rather than being locked into one?
Yeah, I don't know. I think there's two sides to that question. I think that from like a business standpoint in the music industry, you know, I turned 30 this year and I've had a record deal before, so this is my second deal. And I've spent 4 years as an independent artist where I've self-funded a record and I started to get involved in songwriting and licensing and in different genres and writing for other people. And so I feel I have a knowledge about the industry that I think is a really great thing for me, but also I think that I've been burned so many times that there's like a part of my artist flame that like got burnt out because I got so screwed and rejected so many times. So point being is that when earlier on in my career, when I was still figuring out who I wanted to be as an artist, I think it was a problem that I could sing different ways, that I liked different types of music, and I would record different types of songs because nobody knew what I was. And so in that respect, no, it's not that great. But once I figured out really what I wanted to be, and I did that on The Voice, like that really happened there when I went on there and I said, I'm going to sing this Italian song for my blind audition, and the producers of the show discouraged me from doing it because nobody knew the song, and they thought people weren't going to understand. But I was like, if I don't do that, if I sing something familiar, then it defeats the purpose of me really trying to say out loud who I am and what I want to do. So once people understood what I was all about, then I could start to play within my own new box that I built for myself. And so in that respect, Rhodes is a really interesting record and really beautiful because it's not one color,
right.
But it all is shaped of the same color. So I took Lady Annabelle's Need You Now, and I took Coldplay's Viva Vida, and I re-recorded Frank Sinatra's My Way, and I have original songs that I wrote on the record that all are fully orchestrated and beautiful and cinematic and dramatic and all the things that I love about music that I want to give in my genre and just put them on one record.
I want to get back to what you said before about deciding to sing because we believe in your blind audition. Do you think that that was something that Christina Aguilera really picked up on and respected?
I think, I definitely think that singing Because We Believe, which is an Andrea Bocelli song, was a big advantage for me because I stuck out like a sore thumb. Christina waited until I hit a bigger note, a higher note to turn around. And I think that she appreciates a big voice because she has one and it was different. CeeLo also turned around and it happened exactly as I predicted. I was hoping CeeLo would turn around because he's a little weird. So am I. And I thought, he'll get this. I was like, he'll appreciate this. But yeah, I think, and honestly, when I was prepping for the show, I was surrounded by 200 good-looking, younger, really kind of outlandishly dressed pop singers who, to me, were way cooler than I was. And I was in a suit. I love to wear suits. And I felt like I was the least cool person there. And then once the audition started, I realized that I was the one that stuck out. out of all that group with all their like crazy hair and all that stuff, but actually the guy in the suit who sings in Italian stands out more because I'm the only one doing it. I didn't expect it to look to turn out the way it did, but I was really happy that it did.
Now, how did you come to audition for The Voice? What gave you that idea? What led you to that?
Everything else hadn't worked. I auditioned, and I honestly didn't even want to go. I just was kind of bent out of shape and feeling discouraged. And I had auditioned for American Idol before, like years ago, and I felt like nobody cared about the type of music I wanted to do. But I went, and I wore a suit, and I auditioned with Josh Groban, and I sang the prayer and told him I would love to sing the prayer with Christina, and like I just laid it out there and said, this is what I want to do, and kept moving forward.
How did that...
Really, it's to Mark Burnett's credit. Mark Burnett, the producer of the show, he definitely took a chance on me because nobody, like Idol and The Voice, hadn't had anybody in my genre before, and that was really Mark Burnett saying, I want to try to see what happens with this. And so I'm really thankful to him for allowing me the opportunity to get up on that stage. Because a lot of people probably were not so convinced that it was a good idea.
Now, during the blind audition, what were you experiencing at that moment?
I got very overwhelmed emotionally. I started crying when I made the show. My parents were backstage. My fiance was there. They've been helping me along for 12 years professionally trying to get a break. And before I walked out on the stage, I've had a physical response. I felt very sick. I knew that this was my chance, and I hadn't had that feeling before. So I was really nervous because I knew how big this was. And when they turned around and I knew that at least I was going to make the show, I was just really thankful. It was very strange to look out, to be on the stage for the first time. You're not only on a huge stage, but you have a live audience. And as soon as I started singing, they started cheering really loud, which is the first thing that I wasn't expecting. I'd never had that experience before. So that throws you. And then once the chairs start turning, you get super excited. And it's a really highly emotional, crazy experience, for sure.
That night, what was going through your mind after the blind audition?
I was with my manager and my parents and my fiance, Laura, and we were sitting there, we were toasting champagne, and we all just said, like, this is going to change everything, because it was such a exciting performance, and people... The crowd was really into it, and to have Christina, you know, literally say that I'm, you know, you're the reason why the show exists, like you have the voice, and to feel so endorsed so quickly. And we knew that it was going to change things. So I think we were just excited to look forward to what was going to come. And my entire outlook on the show, which is really funny, was I just hoped that I would get picked on a team, and then I just hoped that I would win my battle, and maybe I would then hope to get into the live round. And I genuinely believe that Lindsay Paveo was going to win Christina's team, so I just really wanted to make it to the top eight. And then I ended up winning the top eight, and it wasn't until the night of the finale when I was like, maybe I'll just win the whole show. And it never crossed my mind that I could win until that night, and I didn't, of course. But I just sort of took it one step at a time.
Now, did you feel an immediate connection with Christina?
I did, because she is the vocalist of the four. And I know her voice really well, because I'm like a dork, and I study and know her, you know, like the real singers. I know their inflections and what they do. So I'm a student of hers. I know what she does. And so I definitely felt a connection with her. And it grew as we continued to work together, because I know that she's sung in Spanish before, and I know she's sung in Italian before, and when we got to Ave Maria, she said that she had learned singing on that song too, which I had. She really, and what I was so impressed with her most was that she was so encouraging of and almost like demanding of me to push myself and to continue to sing things in my genre that other people can't. Because I was really, I would get real concerned about, well, Lindsay Paveo's doing Gautier, and that's so cool, and it's selling like a bazillion copies on iTunes, and I can't compete with that, and I'm singing Bridge Over Troubled Water, and people loved it, but it's not the same. And I had to just, and that was my, that I kept fighting sort of the whole point of what I was trying to do on the show, even during the show, which was I'm kept trying to be more pop and to compete with the kids and all that stuff. But she was the one who was reminding me what I was good at and was saying, no, sing Bridge Over Troubled Water and sing Ave Maria. And then we took a chance on Viva La Vida. And then I ended with the prayer and did You Raise Me Up and like just stuck to my guns. And she was right.
Well, Chris, we're going to have to take a little break from our fascinating journey, but never fear. I'll be back in a lightning flash with Chris Mann talking about The Voice and his new album, Rhodes, who's riding along with us on the TV Time Machine.
I want to say it out loud. I don't want to try and hide it. I want to let it all